Turn your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 55. If you were with us in Sunday school this morning, you're thinking, we're going back to Isaiah chapter 55 after all that we studied there. But yes, we are. In Isaiah chapter 55, we want to look at, particularly at two verses here, verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. I think the best way in church to prepare yourself for preaching and to prepare yourself for what's going to happen here in the next few minutes is to pray before the Lord and tell Him that you want Him to speak to you. I know when I have an opportunity to sit where you are and others are preaching here, I want to hear from God. And He knows just what I need. And then what I also pray is that my heart will be responsive to what He's shown me so that not only do I get it, but I do something about it. This message today is one such message that you want to hear. And then after you hear it, you really want to do something about it. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Now notice right there in the middle of verse 7, after he said, "Let him return to the Lord," he said this, "and He will have mercy." Do you see that? He will have mercy. It is the promise of the gospel that if a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ will have mercy. And the reason is He is a merciful God. And while He's also a God of righteousness and justice and judgment, today we want to talk about His mercy. His mercy. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with Your Holy Spirit, that what we do here today, Father, will be pleasing to You and profitable. We certainly know from the Word of God that by preaching these words, Lord, these words will not return void to You. We saw that this morning. We know it to be true. Well, we ask You now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that You will fill us so that You can accomplish in this vessel what You want. Father, I know this flesh and blood, and I understand that You inhabit it, and by that You sanctify the life. But Father, we don't look to our sanctification as if it's something that we could do that would put us in a situation where we are more adept to deliver this message. We're never adept, Father. We are, like You said, without Me You can do nothing, and we come today to You as nothing, asking You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit that You may accomplish in here what You want, in changing lives, Father, based upon what are in these words of Scripture today. We ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we're going to see in this text today, in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, is we're going to see the Lord's mercy at work through the whole process of a person returning to the Lord. All right? The Lord grants him mercy throughout these two verses. For instance, first of all, the Lord grants him mercy to seek the Lord. Do you see where he starts out and he says in verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord"? Do you understand that it is of the Lord's mercies that you can even do that? Now, we're going to concentrate pretty much exclusively on this text today, but just to give you an understanding of how much mercy of God is involved in this first point, I would like us to look at a few scriptures. So turn with me, first of all, to Job chapter 11. Job chapter 11. And Job is right before the book of Psalms. Psalms is right in the middle of your Bible. So if you get to Psalms and turn left, you're going to find Job. Wouldn't it be nice if you said, if I get to Psalms and turn left, I'll find a job? But what you find here is you find Job. Job's the name of a man, and he goes through just a tremendous torment. And in verse 7, notice what he says. "Canst thou," verse 7 of Job chapter 11, "canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" It is as high as heaven. What can thou do? Deeper than hell. What canst thou know? The point is, you're not going to be able to find him by searching. And yet he says, seek ye the Lord. I mean, really and truly, if you go all over and you're looking for God, God, where are you? God, where are you? He's all around you. He's omnipresent. So he's everywhere all at the same time. But you can't find him by searching for him. Not like you would search for the glasses that you misplaced this morning, or, you know, your favorite comb or brush or your wallet or your money or your car or your keys or whatever it is you might be looking for. You could find those. Well, most of you can anyway. But some of you need help. But you're not going to search around and find God. It doesn't make a difference how high in the heaven you go and how low you go. You know why that is? Because with God, he needs to reveal himself to you. Turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. The Lord has to reveal himself to you. If when you're seeking for the Lord, he doesn't reveal himself to you, you're not going to find him. And it is his mercy that causes him to reveal himself to you. Luke chapter 10, look at verse 21. In Luke 10, 21, the Bible says, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit. That's pretty good for a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. See, if they were looking, they couldn't have found him. And hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Do you see that? So God is revealed to us by the Son. God is revealed to us as unto babes and hidden from the wise and prudent. So what is going on? It's like a game. And God doesn't play games with you, but it's like a game. When you were a child, did you ever play a game called hide and seek? Hide and seek, he says, seek ye the Lord. All right, well, the Lord is like that. It's like he hides from you, and what you're doing, if you're on a pursuit to get to know God or to find God, then what he does is he lays out clues for you along the way, and they get to a place where finally you are in a position where God will reveal himself to you. These things draw you. You were in Luke. Just go over to the next book, John. John chapter 6 and look at verse 44. And this will be the last of these verses that we'll see to expound this point. But once you kind of see how God does this, Luke chapter 6 verse 44. Jesus Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So the Lord draws you. When our children were young, we used to go to the ranch. Sometimes we did this in a yard. But what we'd do is we would get index cards, and I would draw pictures of things around the ranch headquarters. A slide or a diving board or a gate or a cattle guard, something like that. And then what I would do is I would arrange these in an order where it's just a treasure hunt. You get the first card, you go to that place, there'll be another card somewhere hidden there, you pull that card, go to the next place, and eventually you come around and find a box that I buried full of chocolate candy and whatever else I put in there. You get there before the fire ants do. But that was the object. But anyway, so God is like that. In other words, if you look back in your life, as I've looked back in my life, there are things that the Lord's laying out to draw you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's a bad thing that happens in your life. You're like, whoa, I don't want to go that way. And it turns you this way. Sometimes it's a friendship that you make and you think, well, there was something very special about that person. And I remember that person was a Christian. Sometimes it's a billboard you're reading. We were driving in from the ranch this morning, looked over on a fence on the side, and it says, gotta go through Jesus. Gotta go through Jesus. Or something, get to God, gotta go through Jesus. Or gotta go through me, Jesus, I think is how it said. Anyway, the point being, you don't have any idea what that sign may do in the life of a person who needs that next clue. I've already received it and I know what it's done for me. A tract will be that way. How many people have picked up a tract? God used it to take them one step further. So I say to you this, what happens is it's God's mercy that leaves those clues and does that drawing to bring you to Himself. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And every person here is being drawn by the Lord to some degree in His mercy. Otherwise, He's just going to let you go. And the object is He wants you to find Him, and He wants you to find Him at precisely the right time that when you look His way, He'll be what you want. I'll give you an example. Years ago, 35 years ago, I went to a bank Christmas card party. I was a banker before I became a pastor. And I'm at a bank Christmas party, and I met a girl named Ann Shirley. And that's it. Just met this girl. I get to work on Monday, and my secretary said, "Did you meet a girl named Ann Shirley?" And I said, "Ann Shirley? Yeah, you know, blonde, kind of cute, maybe 5'3", that kind of stuff." "Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember meeting her." "Well, you ought to ask her out." Okay. So, I called her to ask her out. That was an ordeal. But eventually we found about a 3-hour block of time right there where we could meet on a Wednesday night. And we met. Now, I'm not going to recommend this form of courtship or whatever you want to call it to any of you. We met on a Wednesday night. Sunday afternoon, we were engaged. This coming May, we will have been married 35 years. May I tell you, I got a clue. Okay? After I got a clue and found out what the clue was about, I did some seeking. Okay? And I found what I was looking for. You understand? There are times where you're almost not even aware that the Lord is laying things down in your path to bring you to Jesus Christ. But He knows if He can get your attention enough to turn and seek Him, that you can find Him. Have you ever heard of a man in the Bible called the Ethiopian eunuch? All right, here's a guy that goes to Jerusalem. That's a good thing for that Ethiopian to do. He's up there to worship the Lord, but he hasn't found Him yet. And on his way back, he is reading the book of Isaiah. If you were looking for the Lord, that's a real good place to look. And he lands, listen, in Isaiah 53. Now you have to understand, I don't know how he got to Isaiah, what we call Isaiah 53. It wasn't even numbered at the time. Don't even know how he got to that point and to that place. If that was in his regular reading, if he just happened to let the scroll or book or whatever fall open to that place. But God, long before that happened, went over to Ephesus and told Philip, "Hey, we need to get you over here." So he's traveling, maybe before the guy has even left Jerusalem, he's going to be going down. He's traveling, and he meets this guy right at a crossroads, right when he's reading Isaiah chapter 53, which we studied 2 weeks ago, about the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So the Ethiopian says, "Come on up here." He says, he asks him a question. "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" He said, "Well, all right, I'll show you something. Come on up here." So he gets in here. He says, "Where are you reading?" "I'm reading right here." And he reads all about Jesus Christ in Isaiah chapter 53. The Ethiopian eunuch turns to him and says, "Of whom does this man speak? Of himself or of some other man?" And from there he picked it up and preached unto him Jesus. And the guy got saved and the guy got baptized. And undoubtedly that was the beginning of a Coptic church down in Ethiopia when he got there. At exactly the right time. Do you understand that you could be here today and God has been trying to get your attention about something in your life concerning either your salvation or your repentance, and today this text at this time is going to reveal that God has you in mind? It sure happened for that eunuch. And I'll tell you what, if that's the case and we were able to play back your life up to this point, I'll tell you something. It's of God's mercy that you could be here today to seek Him. He will have mercy. He has mercy. He grants mercy. He grants mercy to seek the Lord. He grants mercy to call upon the Lord. Look again in Isaiah chapter 55 at verse 6. He grants you mercy to seek Him. He grants you mercy to call upon Him. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. So what happens when that, it's kind of like the Lord's been hiding over here, you know, and you kind of happen to come by and you're seeking for Him and He goes, you know, like that, and you go, whoa, you're over there. And now you found Him. May I tell you something? You're gonna hear about the Lord exclusively and in great detail today. And it's not going to do you any good unless you call upon Him. He wants you, if you're lost, He wants you to be saved. If you've turned away from the Lord, He wants you to return. It is not enough to hear the gospel. You need to respond to the gospel. You need to respond to the gospel. We have invitations at the end of preaching, and we say, if you're here today and you're lost without Jesus Christ, why don't you come forward, meet me at the back door, raise your hand, any variety of ways, and somebody will show you from the Bible how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't do that, you haven't responded to the gospel. If you don't respond to the gospel, you haven't gotten saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So He wants, and it's His mercy that allows you to call upon Him. Can you imagine the mercy of God in the life of Paul the Apostle? Now, most of you know who Paul the Apostle is, but just in the event that you don't, here's a guy that was a zealous Jew, zealous for the law. And he did what he did because he thought he was doing God a service. When Jesus Christ came and then rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven and His disciples began to preach, that looked like, because they were preaching to Jews and Jews were now leaving synagogues and becoming part of now what was called the church, Paul looked at that and said, these guys are heretics. These guys are working against God. We got to stop this. And so Paul began to persecute Christians in order to get them to deny Jesus Christ or to scare them away from following their gone Savior. As far as he was concerned, there was no such thing as the God they were following named Jesus. And so he called it a complete heresy. Now listen, in his own testimony, he says that he is responsible for those Christians dying and blaspheming God and wreaking havoc on the church. He said, I was a bad cat. Why didn't God just go, boom, you're dead, we're through with you? You know why he didn't do that? Mercy. So here's Paul, and he's over there in Jerusalem doing all of this bad work. You know what? He's not in a place where God wants to reveal himself to him. Why? He's surrounded by an awful lot of like-minded people. God waits till he gets out almost by himself, just got a few guys traveling with him. God waits till he gets all the way out on the road to Damascus. Right? And then all of a sudden, boom, he reveals himself to Paul. He waited until Paul's conscience over all those Christians he had been persecuting and Paul's conscience over the death of Stephen, he was standing there with Stephen's clothes at his feet watching Stephen being stoned to death as Stephen was preaching to the Jews about the necessity for salvation in Jesus Christ. He's watching, he's consenting unto the death, and he sees the face of Stephen, the Bible says, as an angel. And Stephen calls upon the Lord and says, forgive him. Paul, you just know Paul can't get that out of his mind. You've seen traumatic things in your life, and just the mention of them have brought back perhaps the memory of what you've seen. Paul can't get that out of his mind. And after the Holy Spirit had worked old Paul's heart over and worked his mind over real hard about Stephen, old Paul was pretty tender, and on the road to Damascus, a light shines. Saul at the time, falls to the earth. And who art thou, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the bricks of his conscience. And Paul says this, listen, what will you have me to do, Lord? What will you have me to do, Lord? He called him Lord. He recognized this is not a heresy. This is God manifest in the flesh, revealing himself to me. What do you have me to do? Go to Damascus and I'll tell you what to do. And so he goes to Damascus, he finds out what to do. And you know what he does? He gets about it from the beginning and he stays with it the entire time through. Can you imagine that God had so much mercy that he would save that kind of character when he called upon him? And not only that, that he would call that man to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Boy, you talk about mercy. Today, if you are on the outs with God and your heart needs repentance to return to him, or if today you're here and you're lost, you can call upon the name of the Lord, and no matter what you've done, like Paul, he will fix it up. He will have mercy on you. He'll let you come in just like he let Paul come in. The Lord grants him mercy to seek him. The Lord grants him mercy to call upon the Lord. And then, you know what? The Lord grants him mercy to forsake his way. Look what he says here in verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see that? Let the wicked forsake his way. You know what we're talking about here? We're talking about wicked. Wicked. Let me show you somebody that's wicked in here today. Let me see. Right here. Right here. You want to see wicked? You don't have to go to New York to see wicked. Wasn't there a play called Wicked? Yeah. Right here, you're looking at it. You say, well, it doesn't look wicked now. Well, some things have happened. But I know this thing here. Okay? Let me show you wicked. Right here. The trouble with people that come to church is you're dressed up nice. You took a shower this morning. Thank you. Combed your hair and shaved, if you shave. You got all that? You came here and you're looking like this. You say, man, I want to show you good. How are you today? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's a beautiful day. Yeah. God gave us a beautiful day today. Yeah. That's what you want us to see. Let me show you wicked. You see, when you and I are before God, who is perfect and holy and righteous, we, like Paul, can say, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the chief of sinners. But you know what the Lord does? The Lord knows the depths of our wickedness, and through His mercy, He gives us the opportunity to forsake our wickedness. I want to ask you something. Why didn't God kill you already? Oh, you say, because he has something what he wants me to do. Really? I gave God a lot of excuses and reasons to bump me off and never apologize. I'm not proud of that, but it's true. You know why he didn't? Mercy. He is a merciful God, and he holds out hope to the bitter end that we will turn to his righteousness and forsake our ways. Now, please understand something. God doesn't expect you to clean up and then come to Jesus. But some people get that idea, and I know it comes from religious training or religious exposure. I gave a Bible to a fellow years ago. I've told you his story. And eventually, after several months of reading the Bible, he got saved. But right before he got saved, once he knew that Jesus Christ was the only way of salvation, once he knew that for sure, and had called me and told me that he knew that for sure, I said, well, then aren't you ready to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Aren't you ready to call upon the Lord? And he said, no. I said, why not? He said, got to clean up first. I said, you got to do what? He said, yeah, my life is wicked. I got to clean up first. I said, sweetheart, you're not going to a dance. You're trying to get saved. You know what the Lord wants you to do? He wants you to seek him and then call upon him. And after he saves you, let him give you the strength, the power, the wisdom, and the ability to forsake your wicked way. And He'll do that. He will change your life. The nice thing is, He doesn't make you do that before you get saved. He provides you with all the equipment necessary, all the tools necessary to take care of that after you yield to Him living inside of you. But may I tell you something? He does want you to forsake your wickedness. Strange society that we live in today. You go to a rock concert they call church and get all high on Jesus. And you just live any way you want to live and call it salvation. And that's not what God wants. You remember that prodigal son? You know that when that father gave him his inheritance, he knew that boy was going to run. And that boy ran and he goes over there and he's messing around with all that wicked life. And after he's been wicked for a long, long time and runs out of money, all the people that he spent all that money on, they're gone. Those guys aren't your friends anymore. They'll be your friends as long as you're willing to buy them drinks. You quit buying them drinks, they don't want to be your friend anymore. And now that you need help, they really don't want to be your friend. So they leave him, and the guy ends up in a pig pen. When he called upon the Lord, when he recognized that it was better off to be a servant in his father's house than it was to be a son in a pig pen, do you know what he did? He, listen, left the pig pen. He left it. I don't know what you do that God finds wicked in your life now that you've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, but whatever it is, forsake it. You say, well, I've been saved a long time, and what you're telling me now, God doesn't like that. I should have forsaken that a long time ago. Mercy, mercy, the mercy of God. He's waiting for you to make the turn. I told you, when you came here this morning, if you'll ask God to show you something, you came here needing the mercy, needing to know about the mercy of God so you would understand that no matter that you've got a history of this with God, even today, if you'll forsake His way, His mercy will allow you to move on from there. Forsake your way. I'll tell you something else. The Lord grants him mercy not only to seek the Lord and call upon the Lord and forsake his way, but listen to this, and to forsake his thoughts. Let the wicked, verse 7 says, forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now, you know something? This is a problem area for Christians. There are Christians who get saved, and pretty soon after they get saved, quit a lot of things that aren't good. Except for right here in the head. Keep a lot of nastiness going on in here between the ears. You say, who are you talking to? I'm not talking to the guy that you're looking next to that didn't show up here today. I'm talking to you. If you're listening to this on recording, I'm talking to you, dude. Your thought life. Did you know that a person can, according to Jesus Christ, commit murder without killing somebody? Why? All you have to do is hate him in your heart. Did you know that? Did you know that a man can commit adultery with a woman without touching her? So how do you do that? With his eyes and his heart. According to Jesus Christ. And I believe that this society in which we live that is so hooked on internet, television, video, blah, 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 blah. I think you're exposed to it now. You've been desensitized to it and you don't even realize that your mind, your thoughts running through a cesspool most of the time. You say, what's a cesspool? Well, that's what they used to call it when I was a kid. That obviously sounds like a very nasty place. How about the septic tank? You know who wants to control your thoughts? Jesus said, your thoughts are not like my thoughts and your ways aren't my ways. My thoughts, my ways are higher than yours. As the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts. He wants your thought life as well. There are a lot of Christians with a lot of perversion running right here between the eyes and the ears. Just right up in here and down into the heart. And God knows that. And you know something? If a man can sin by hating in his heart, if a man can sin by committing adultery in his heart, do you realize that God could have bumped you off already and he didn't owe you an excuse? And he didn't owe you an apology? Do you understand that? Are we together? Am I getting through to you? Does it make sense to you? Listen, man, if we could just play back the cumulative thoughts of this group over the last week, we could keep Hollywood in fodder for new movies for 5 years. Wicked. And you know what the Lord said? Forsake his thoughts. And you know what he's doing? He has granted us mercy to get over that, and he's given you in the scripture the tools by which to do this. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. He said, why? You say, well, why would I want to get my thoughts under control? They're not affecting anything. Pretty soon they're going to be your ways. And pretty soon you'll be off track with God. You got to attack it at the root of the problem, and you got to quit thinking like you're thinking. And it's his mercy that has allowed you to come to this day to hear this message at this time, because God wants that to change in your life. Thank God that he has so much mercy. And then look again in our text. He has his mercy. He grants you mercy to seek the Lord, to call upon the Lord, to forsake his way, to forsake his thoughts. And look at this, to return to the Lord. Verse 7 again says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Now this verse of the right here says, return unto the Lord. It doesn't say turn unto the Lord. It's addressed to Israel. Israel had God from the very beginning with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes. They veered away from God, and he's saying you can return back to God. But you know, it's true in our lives, not turn to God, but return to God. Let me just say this. When a child is young, the Bible says he's safe. He says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Little children do bad things and they commit what we know to be sins, but because they don't understand that, God doesn't hold them accountable for lying to you at 2 years old when they're the ones that spilled the juice and they want you to believe it was the dog tail that did it. Okay? But as you get older and you are aware of God and aware of accountability and you sin, God holds that against you, and at that point you have turned away from the Lord. And so he says, I'm going to give you mercy to return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. And how do you do that? You call upon the Lord. You forsake your thoughts. You forsake your way. So we understand that, and I'm going to explain a little more about it in just a minute, but I want to say this, folks in here today, I'm looking around here, most of you are saved, if not all of you. I don't know the condition of every soul here, but most of you are saved. And when you turn away from the Lord, you need to return to the Lord. Why, when some of us have taken the wide swath detours that we have, why didn't God just kill us? His mercy. I want y'all to see something here real quick. I'll be the first to raise my hand. How many of you, after you got saved, took a bad detour away from the Lord? Just hold them up real quick. Okay, now look, if you're just look around, if you hadn't seen it. They're all over the place. Are we happy about that? Are we proud of that? No way. No way. I'm not happy about that at all. But boy, am I ever happy for the Lord's mercy. Am I ever happy? Listen, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercy, I wouldn't be up here preaching today. You're probably going, well, boy, I wish God hadn't been so merciful then. We'd have somebody up here who could really preach, thank God. And you know something? You wouldn't be here either if it hadn't been for the Lord's mercy. He. Listen, we took that wide swath and God said, you know what I ought to do? I ought to just kill that guy. You know, if we were God, none of us would be here today. For the things we've done against God when we went on the wide swath, we'd all said, stone him! Like they did in the Old Testament. But God didn't do that. He said, have mercy on him. Why? Because, look, somewhere down the road when he's on his veering path, he's going to see a sign on the side of the highway. Get to God through me, Jesus. He's going to see a tract. He's going to hear something on TV. He's going to start turning. Holy Spirit's going to be working on his heart. He's going to come over here, and one day he's going to have that seemingly chance meeting with God like you're having today. And at that day, he can turn back to the Lord. He can return to the Lord. And at that day, you look back and realize, man, has God been good to me? Listen, I'm glad you're here today. God's glad you're here today. And if you've been on that detour with God, or if you're lost and you hadn't got saved, you are not here by accident. God wants you to call upon Him. God wants you to forsake your way. God wants you to forsake those thoughts. God wants you to return to the Lord. Listen, if He's had so much mercy that He would take care of you on the detour, just imagine what He'll do for you when you're living for Him. I was just thinking about it the other day. I was having some devotions in the morning, and I was sitting there in my chair, and the sun was coming up, and I'm reading my Bible, and it suddenly dawned on me how God has been so good. Look what it says in the passage. The Lord's mercy will allow you to seek the Lord, call upon the Lord, forsake your way and thoughts, and return to the Lord. But look at this at the end. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy. Watch it unto our God, for He, watch it, will abundantly pardon. When you call upon the Lord, when you've sought the Lord, when you forsake His way, God abundantly pardons. Get this. Here I am, a sinner, and I know even in my own judgment I can stand before the mirror and say, man, you have been wicked, and God pours out His mercy, and then He says, that's not all. Here is my goodness. Here is my righteousness. Here is my Spirit. Here is my Word. Here is my abundance of pardon. And He puts His arm around you metaphorically, and He tells to the rest of the world, and this is my Son. This is my boy, whom I love. And I can say, this is my dad whom I love. Boy, he's sure been good to me. You don't even know. And then what God does is He pours out that goodness. Why? He doesn't want you to live on the detour. He doesn't want you to live lost. He wants to pour out His goodness to you. He wants to pour out His righteousness to you. And the neat thing about it is, you get one step away from that, and of course you can remember, and I can remember what that looks like. God looks over here and says, I don't remember any of that. Why? Watch. You find God in that, what we say was chance, circumstantial meeting. It wasn't, it was a setup. God's mercy led to that day. Watch this. Here's where He found you and all that thing. He says, you want to forsake your way of thought? Say, I really do. And watch, you take one step this way, and where are they? The Bible says they're behind His back. And you know what He does? He keeps walking this way on a path now of His goodness, of His mercy, of His righteousness, of His holiness, of His provision, of His joy, of His happiness, of His peace. And I mean, the further you walk away from that, the more distant and remote that memory becomes. You know what that is? That's the abundance of God's pardon. Because of His mercy, He will abundantly pardon. If you add up all the sins in the room and present them to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for payment, you won't notice any deficiency on the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll be just as much to take care of the rest of sin. God abundantly pardons. Listen. He will pardon the iniquity of your wickedness and make it just like you didn't have any. The Bible says He will justify you so that when He looks at you, He doesn't see sin at all, nowhere. I believe this with all of my heart. I believed it when I put this together, that today the Lord will be found here today if you're lost. I mean, seriously, if you came here without Jesus Christ, you can leave here with Jesus Christ. Just like that. This is not a chance meeting. This is one of those days where the Lord is here to reveal Himself to you. But you got to call upon Him. You got to call upon Him. And if you're here today and you're saved and you've taken a detour and the thought life is off track or the ways are off track, you can return to the Lord and He will abundantly pardon. But forsake your ways. Forsake your thoughts. Walk in His mercy. You know, sometimes we become a little bit formal in here on Sunday morning. I don't know why that is. I suppose it's because there's more of us here and blah, blah, Sunday morning and lunch is close and all that other kind of stuff. I'll deal with it when I get home. You know what? I don't think that's a good thing for us to do today. That Ethiopian eunuch, when he trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, he looked over there and found a body of water. He said, "What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And I mean, they stopped the chariot, got out and took care of business right then. Paul got up from that road. He didn't go back to Jerusalem. He went into Damascus and he waited 3 days just like he was supposed to. And he got instructions on what to do next and he did it. I believe that if you're here today, listen, you and you alone, between you and God, know if you've taken that detour, if you're ready to forsake your way and call upon the Lord, you know what you ought to do? Just like they did. You ought to get up, make your way to this old-fashioned altar like Randy had preached not too long ago. That is the first indication of a changed mind and a changed heart. God, we're going to pick this up and go a different way. And if you're here today without Christ, you know what? People get embarrassed sometimes. Oh, man, I can't go over there and show these people I was lost. I came up all looking like a Christian today. What are they going to think if I all of a sudden go up there to get Jesus Christ? They're going to think, hallelujah.
Amen.
What they're going to think. Just like there's 2/3 of this congregation, I've already asked you to show your hands today. I'm not going to do it again. 2/3 of this congregation got saved at the end of a message just like this by walking an aisle and trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. There's no magic in walking the aisle. You know what it is? It is the first step in the right direction of a changed heart and a changed mind.
Amen.
And just come up and say, "Preacher, I need to receive Jesus Christ." We'll get somebody to come right up here with you and pray with you and work with you. Make sure that you understand the gospel and that you can get saved. Why? Seek the Lord according to His mercy. Call upon the Lord according to His mercy. Forsake your way according to His mercy. Listen, forsake your thoughts according to His mercy. Return to the Lord, and He will abundantly pardon. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to preach this passage of Scripture today. Just clear as a bell, it's all right there. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, work in our lives. Father, may we not be so formal in our Christianity today that we can't humbly beseech You on our behalf to have mercy. Not only mercy, Father, Your mercy brought us here today, but to abundantly pardon. Father, if we've got somebody in here today that's lost, that hadn't been saved, Your Holy Spirit's the one, Your Word is the one that has to do the work. We're here simply as the messengers. But if you're working on somebody that's ready to receive Jesus Christ, we're ready and willing to show them how to receive You. And I pray, Father, they'll get over themselves and get over the crowd and get over the surroundings and get thinking about You. And Father, I pray You will reveal Yourself to them in such a way that they realize this is between You and them, not us and them. I pray, Father, You'll change some lives here today and ask You to do it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.